In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we gather today. Beautiful to see the church full. It's been a time of traveling for some people and such, and it's nice when this fall is setting in and we get back into that rhythm of life. The church full, the choir full, our hearts full. In today's gospel reading, it's one of many times our Lord shows us something terrible in the possession of a person. There's many blessings in life, like this church and our friends and our family and our health if we have it. And when we have a roof over our head and we have food and we have many joys. But if we're honest, we have many, many, many heartaches as well. And we need to be aware that many terrible things. And we know, unfortunately, because unlike the old days, you only saw the terrible things around you. Now we have to think about the terrible things everywhere. In Timbuktu, in Africa, because the internet and globalism, all those things become ours somehow on our minds. Terrible things do happen in this world. I mean, all the time. You know, I'm dating myself in the sense of those who flew those planes into the Twin Towers on 9/11. Those to that one guy who killed those people in Las Vegas in that shooting. Columbine, the shooting at Columbine, my wife was there. And when her good friends died, my wife was there with bullets whizzing that day. That was her experience. Some of you didn't know that. There's so many. The Boston Marathon bombing. Do you remember these things? I'm not saying we should dwell on these things. We have to have a reality check that in the world of good hearts, it seems like there's a lot of corrupted hearts as well. And there are terrible things that happen. And I can think of many, many more. I'm just throwing a few out. Why do these happen? What do the Holy Fathers tell us? So, all these events are somebody taken by evil. Now, different kinds of evil. Some people's minds are weakened by mental illness. It's not always clear where mental illness, leaves off and where demonic possession picks up. Only experienced people in the spiritual life can tell the difference. Some people, if they're motivated by a radical demonic ideology, like you see in radical Islam and other places. Really, but according to the Fathers, every person who commits something atrocious like this, these terrible acts of taking the lives of others, of unspeakable things, the Fathers, and I'm firmly convinced, that they were indeed possessed by demonic forces. But here's the difference. Unlike many horror movies or theatrical understandings, the demons didn't suddenly pounce on them and take away their free will and just take them over all of a sudden like in the movies. You know, in fact, movies and modern society, they give us a false impression of how demons work. And in fact, it makes people believe that's not even real. Remember, the greatest trick of the devil is to make you think he doesn't exist. And most people think that. They think, oh, yo, there's this bad mojo out there, there's bad. But there's not actually someone or something actively trying to trip you up. That's what the world tells us. So, let's be honest. Well, the vast majority of people who have mental illness or who have radical ideologies are not mass murderers and doing these things. Almost all of them who do them have these traits, have something demonic going on. And here's my point for us today. Each of us, we often go, well, I'm nothing like that. I would never be like one of those people. I'm a good person. That's not what the Fathers say, the church. They say that we'd be gravely mistaken to believe that only other people, those people with mental illness or these radicals, are subject to demonic attacks and possession. It's not true. You'd be mistaken to think that exorcisms are only for what? For people who foam at the mouth or spin their head around like in the movies or those who hurl these curses toward God and his priest. By the way, those are real, just so you know. I've experienced them as a priest, and I've never been so afraid in my whole life. I never had my faith inspired so much by seeing the power of God to drive out those demons. I've experienced it in this church, in the middle of the night, here as a priest. I'm telling you, it's real. The devil is very real, but God is much, much more powerful. We don't believe it. We often think that's kind of what it's about. You know, in today's reading, hopefully you're listening to the gospel, I know it's hard sometimes, but in case you weren't, there was a man who was possessed by not just one demon, a legion of demons. And we're mistaken if we don't think that we're like this man. If we don't think we have something in common with this man, something's wrong. We often let the fiery passions influence our thoughts, our words, our actions. We're constantly being burned by our sins. We're attracted to the cesspool of wealth and comfort and end up drowning in our own greed and judgment of others. The question is, if we are sick in a similar way, who will perform the exorcism for us and how will it be done? You might say, is this true? Is this really true? Listen to what St. Theophon, a great saint of the church, says. He says, where there is no prayer and fasting, there are the demons. Let me repeat that. Where there is no prayer and fasting, there are the demons. So, my experience as a priest, that this world doesn't hardly pray, and definitely doesn't fast, so no wonder it's taken over by the demons, even though it looks pretty. And I know for many of us, in our laziness, and our sloth, and our worldliness, our double-mindedness, we're not praying enough, and we're not fasting enough, and so what does that mean? Each of us has to acknowledge that formula. We're not praying enough, we're not fasting enough, we're sinning plenty, so what's the equal sign? There the demons are. And they're in all of our lives. And I don't say it to scare you, because in the face of Christ, they have no power. But when you're unaware of their existence, and you're not close to Christ, it can be a very dangerous situation. This is reality. But we're numb. We think, that's not true. You know, Halloween is coming up. Halloween. People are so funny about this. They think, oh, it's just normal, you know, kids having fun. I love kids. I have a bunch of them. I feel like a kid at heart. Kids like to dress up. Yes, they do. My kids often dress up. We have an All Saints party for the kids as an alternative. Kids like to dress up. Adults like to dress up. Who are we kidding? Dress up nice. When my wife and I go on a date, we dress up nice. That's normal and blessed and very beautiful. Kids want to dress up and they want to play. Normal. Kids like candy. All normal. But you know, it becomes abnormal when we say we have to have this ghoulishness. And people justify it. I know churches whose youth groups go to these haunted mansions. It's sick. And you know, older people, it's not like it was when we were kids. It's not like a little maze and someone jumps out, boo, you know. It's like so sick and bloody and crazy and demonic, it'll shock you. I sent an email about it. I would encourage you to read it. I'm not a weirdo. I went trick-or-treating as a kid, and I just collected pillowcases of candy. That was my only focus. But I also did some stupid stuff. And I also was really lucky I didn't get involved in other stuff because nothing really good happens at night. This is an aside, but you should know the history. It comes from people who were using demonic things to threaten Christians. And I've heard other alternative histories. It's just not true. Right? When you say trick or treat, what you're saying is, give us a treat, a libation to satisfy the pagan gods, or we will trick you and we will torture you and mock you and mock your faith and have incantations on you. It makes no sense to have a little girl in a bumblebee outfit saying those stupid words. She should be saying, I love you. You're my friend. Let's put it normal. We think, well, it doesn't matter what they say, really. What we say matters. The Lord is called the Word of God. So I'm not advocating being a weirdo and being counterculture. I'm saying be a Christian. And if, as a Christian, that's going to draw the line somewhere. And that's okay. Why would I say this? Why would the church say this? It wants to limit your fun. No. It wants you to not have any evil in your life. My job as a priest, I'm like a doctor, Father Paul and I, in this hospital with all these specialists, and they say, this brings sickness. Help take it out of your people, whatever it takes, Father. This brings healing. Give them that. So I love you too much to say, if I didn't love you, the easy thing would be to say, well, I want them to go to church, so I'll say the easy thing. That is not love. I want only blessings in the lives of your children. I don't want demonic influence because it's very real. And many parents come to me and say, Father, we shined you on. Now our kids are 18. They don't go to church and they're involved in bad stuff. How did it happen? And I just sit there quietly and they go, oh, I know how it happened. Right? They see it too late. Let us be really aware of ourselves. It's crazier than you think. Reading your horoscope? Oh, it's no big deal. Let's be honest. Some lady named Debbie writes them in the basement somewhere. Probably. Right? At best, at worst, people actually believe these demonic things. People practice yoga. I'm saying yoga. I know a man who is a yogi, who's now a baptized Orthodox Christian, who says that it's absolutely attached to their demons. Well, that's not PC to say that. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to offend you if you like yoga. I'm trying to keep you from being ill in your soul. So be super careful. What kind of music do you listen to? What kind of movies do you watch? What do you let your eyes fall upon? If you're not careful, it goes into you in a way we don't even notice we're so sick often. Let me give an example. We have baptisms of babies, many babies, and more in this parish, glory to God, some more coming up. And we're surprised that there's exorcisms for babies. People often come and say, here's my sweet little baby. And they say, what are you doing reading that prayer? There's no demons in my baby. They're sweet and innocent. They're the best baby in the world. And I say, this is just some leftover, like, ritual we do as Orthodox. Come on, Father. But the child does need an exorcism. Why? Because they're evil? No. God made them beautiful and good and pure, but it doesn't take long for the world and the devil to yank on them. And we want to fill them with God and drive him out. Right? So there's even three long prayers that are read at every baptism. And it's another mistake to think, oh, we only do exorcisms at baptisms. No nonsense. Look at the catechumens. We do big exorcisms traditionally all the time. And guess what? Even after baptism, right? There's a prayer to drive out the devil. In Orthodox priest service book, there's special prayers to be read over people all the time. There in people's prayer books, when we're in our burned by our sins or our lust, whatever it is, we pray to be released from it. So what do? So each of us, when we feel we're being attacked by a temptation, it's not just some thought, it has a purpose. Evil thought, that person's ugly, that person's this, that person's that. Where did that come from? It could come from your judgmental heart, but it often comes from somewhere else. And we need to know that and recognize it. You should make the sign of the cross and say, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Or use the words of Christ, get behind me, Satan. I don't want this thought. It's not mine. Get out of here. First, you have to recognize it. And then take up the tools of the church, the prayers, the church's prayers, and a closeness with your priest. Because it's often more than you can handle and you don't even know it. Priests can handle it and do it every day. Right? And have special prayers, anointings, all the medicine of the church to heal you from it. So don't be upset to ask how to do this. And as I said earlier, I don't think of demon possession only in the most extreme form, foaming at the mouth and all that. Don't think of it as someone else's problem. We always do that. Because the devil is so crafty, he's so sly and subtle, and he can use these wrong thoughts against us. He sends demons to influence us. And if they can, to take up his throne here. God wants to be in this heart. The devil wants to tear him out of there and sit in there. He wants to be driving this train. Hiding and lurking there while making you think he's nowhere around. What do you mean? We got to see that our bad habits, that we all have bad habits. And our sinful tendencies, these fires of self-centeredness, suffering, despair, woe is me, God isn't taking care of me, if only God was as loving as I was. Our bodies might not shake with seizures like in the gospel, but we're often out of control, aren't we? I saw a video, a scary video of a kid whose parents took his video games away. Father Paul sent me. I had never seen such a psycho freak out. But I've seen little whispers of it in my own children. I've seen whispers of it in your children. I've seen examples of it in grown people. When I used to work at school, I saw someone freak out. This guy went from 45 to 4 in 30 seconds. Throwing a fit like, we've entered Psychoville. And many of you do it, but you hide it from everybody else. I know it. Right? How many teenage boys throw their hands through walls and do stupid things like that and freak out and do all this stuff? You think that's normal. It's normal for the screwed up world, but it is not normal for a Christian. And it's absolutely the way the devil's attacking all of us. Not just teenagers, all of us in some way. When we're thinking these judgmental thoughts, saying things we know are wrong, but we can't seem to stop it. It's like somebody else is controlling our mouth. Someone else is controlling the remote control. It feels like that sometimes, doesn't it? If you can't relate to what I'm saying, then think about this. When was the last time you replayed a hurtful conversation in your head? Well, that was 2 minutes ago, right? Or the last time you gossiped about someone? Probably all too recently. Or the last time you bought something you really didn't need? Or when you ate too much? Or when you didn't do your prayers? I can go on and on. These are all little ways of how demonic things build up. Today in the gospel, Jesus rebuked and cast out not one demon, but a whole ton of them. And if you read the gospel, I mean, Jesus did this for numerous hundreds, perhaps thousands of people in his earthly life, his 3-year ministry. But Jesus, you know, and power over demons isn't secret. It's not some secret thing. Jesus shares the formula. It's not just, he did it for those 3 years, gosh, I wish I could have had it too. No, he tells us exactly what to do. So right after he cures the epileptic in the Gospel of Matthew, listen to what he says. The disciples say, why couldn't we cast out this demon? He says, first of all, because of your unbelief. One, to the apostles. And then he says, these kind of demons only go out by prayer and by fasting. 3-part antidote, so to speak, the church gives us. Faith, prayer, and fasting. This is what Christianity is about, brothers and sisters. That's what Orthodox Christianity is in a nutshell. That's why this parish is growing. It's because there is nothing else than this. Everything else comes back to this. The church is a hospital, and we are all sick, and there is not a single medicine lacking to heal you. Not a single one of body and soul in this church, in any Orthodox church in the world, if it's emphasized. But it's sad to have an Orthodox church where confession is not emphasized, because that's a hospital that is not using a great weapon, and that's a scandal. And I'm not going to feel bad about saying it. Our job is to take all the weapons, this formula that God gave us, and you can be healed. There's no reason for us to be depressed. There's no reason for you to despair. There's no reason for you to be afraid of dying. There's no reason for you to be rude to your spouse, to hit your kids. That's all fixable in one place. Not outside of the church. We often seek outside of the church to fix everything. Oh, I'll go to a worldly therapist, make things worse half the time. Oh, actually, prayer couldn't actually do it. No, you're too lazy to do it. You haven't tried it, and you assume it doesn't work, so you assume that some other thing outside the church is going to do it. It'll invite a spirit, all right, but a different one, often. 3 things. Faith. First of all, you must, I must, we must all believe and trust in Christ with our whole heart, all our mind, all our strength, not a little half-hearted attempt, all. And if you don't do that, don't ask why it doesn't work. If it's anything less than 100%, here's what happens. We start to trust and believe in other things. The church can't heal us. Maybe Christ, we think that something's wrong with God because he doesn't fix all of our problems. That's when we start looking outside the church, worldly books, other things, outside the truth of Jesus Christ. We don't need the priest. We don't need a spiritual father. We look to shows and the internet and all kinds of things. We get inspired, like I said, all right. But I'm telling you, almost every time, by the devil and his demons, but it doesn't look like that. It's much more slow and much more subtle, and it might even look better than the church because it's easy, because you don't want to do the things of the church, because you're lazy, and you think it doesn't work. Jesus says if you have faith in him, you can move mountains. But here's the deal. Where's the mountain? It's you. You are this big, stubborn mountain that seems like it won't move. Entrenched habits, characteristics, it is you. Me, we have to be moved. That's a miracle. Change, adapting to change, letting God change us, that's the mountain that has to be moved to grow in faith. The demons have no power, listen to this, the demons have no power over us other than when what we give them. And we give them way too much power and we don't even know it half the time. But faith isn't enough, the Lord says. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will be saved. That's the truth in the gospel. Any automobile is going to run out of gas if it's not refueled. Our faith in Christ will run out if it's not refueled by prayer, if we're not praying at home. We must fill our tank every day. Our morning and evening prayers, saying the Jesus prayer. I know we say it a lot, but it's because we want you to do it. And it actually does something. It actually brings you into communion with Christ and changes your life. Otherwise, we'll waste our time being priests. That's how you keep the tank full. We have to keep a prayer rule. Have a prayer rule. We have to have a spiritual father. Someone to be accountable to. Forgive me. Don't listen to people that tell you that that's not Orthodox or that's fundamental. It's read the history of the church. The idea of being in a hospital with no doctor makes no sense. And the idea of being in the church hospital with no spiritual father, with a priest that loves you and sacrifices and weeps for you, who knows your life, it's so beautiful. My spiritual father is one of the greatest blessings for me. He knows everything about me, and he'll never judge me. And he'll always help me. And he'll always weep with me. And he'll rejoice with me. it makes all the difference in the world to have a doctor to guide us. And Father Paul and I are here for you. But sadly, many of you don't come near. I don't judge you for it because you're scared or afraid of what it might look like. It looks like love. It looks like healing. It looks like Christianity. It looks like the Gospels. We have to participate in this liturgy. It's so good to see it so full. And the Vespers and the things throughout the week that we can. The Word of God, reading the Gospel every day, our prayers, reading the lives of the saints, His Eucharist above all today, His body and blood. These, so to speak, they feed to the highest octane. They fill the tank to the top. As I said before, prayer can easily cast out demons. Easily. If you're watchful, you're praying, you're confessing, you're taking Holy Communion, you're reading spiritual books, you see the demons coming and you close the door. But if you're not paying attention, you're in a fog in your spiritual life, they are entering all the doors and you have no idea. Father, I don't know why I'm depressed. Let's look. Faith and prayer are not enough. This is the last piece. We must direct our heart, our mind, but even our bodies, which are a big part of sin and temptation towards Christ. Fasting, which people are really bad at. Let me be honest. It's one of the greatest weapons of the church. Self-denial from types of food, not making up our own fast, amounts of food, as well as the sinful passions. It is one of the singular greatest tools to drive the demons out of your life. And most people don't believe it because they haven't experienced it. Our body and soul have to work together. Jesus, the living God, fasted in the wilderness to direct the temptations of the devil. Are we better than Christ, the fathers ask? He had no sin. We think, I don't need that. Jesus, the living God, used it as a tool. We should. Without fasting, without practicing bodily self-control, guaranteed you're going to fall into way more sinful temptations. And we know that. And I'm a priest, and I know that from confessions. Let's not kid a kidder. We get it. We're suffering. We're in pain. And the church, as a spiritual hospital, can teach you how to wield this weapon. If you only knew how powerful the weapon of fasting was to help you with your lust, with your anger, with your judgment. One of the greatest weapons is fasting, if you would take it up. What's the conclusion? As you leave the church today, ask yourself, is my life seemingly out of control? Because if you're honest, it is for all of us. Am I making choices that are not good for me? Do I want to change? Hopefully all of us. Am I having a difficult time getting my life to where it should be in Christ? If the answer is yes, and I hope so, then you might have a demon. And all of us have demons. That might sound shocking, and your kind of automatic reflexive answer might be, no way I can be possessed, I'm a good person. However, the Father said the devil works slowly, subtly, secretly to take us over. Jesus says in the Gospel, nothing will be impossible for those who have faith in Him. Ask yourself those questions then. Do I believe? Where is my faith? Is it in Jesus Christ in the church, or is it outside? Am I using the powerful, all-powerful medicine and tools of Christ's church, of prayer and fasting, to win this battle against the evil one? Brothers and sisters, the battlefront is right here for me and for you. It's in our hearts and in our minds, and more than that, soul and body, it's in our mouths and it's in our hands. It's how we live and act. It's not out there with someone else. It's this mountain, this stubborn mountain that God wants to conquer. We all need help for this battle. We all need help to grow our faith, to learn how to pray and learn how to fast. That's what priests, these doctors or orderlies in the hospital are for. Please seek us out. Seek out Father Paul and I. We're busy, busy. We're busy because we're with you. We're not too busy. Don't let the devil use that. I call me anytime. Call us. Email us. We'll get back to you. It's our whole life. I can tell you why I love Father Paul. He has no life outside of being a priest. Some priests do. I don't have any life outside of being with you. All I want before I die is for as many as possible of us to be rid of this evil in our lives. And to have Christ in every blessing in us. And you know what happens then? Joy. That's what I want to end with. Joy. The end result of the devil going out and getting rid of that stupid music and that stupid place you go to and confessing that sin and driving the devil out and praying and fasting isn't like, oh man, it's a miserable life. That's the lie. People often come in and hear the homilies and go, I'll go somewhere else where it's easy. That would be a lie. I want you to have the most easy life. I want you to have the easiest life is a life of peace. A life where your conscience is clean. a life when the devil is gone from you as much as possible and the grace of God is dwelling in you, there's no greater life than that. And people avoid the struggle thinking that it's easier. Boy, that's a lie. The hospital can heal you of everything. Christ is the living God. Believe in Him with your faith. Start praying to grow your faith. You don't know how to pray? Ask us. Be in this liturgy. Be serious about your faith. Start taking fasting seriously. Throw yourself 100% into the life in God. And you know what you'll see? Demons will be gone from your life and people around you, and the grace of God will come and dwell in you. And in some small way, we'll be healed. And the world will sense this healing. And the church will grow. And by the grace of God in the sinful world, in a world of terrible catastrophes and shootings, there'll be holy people. Holy people who are not of this world, who share the light of Christ in this desperate world. Please repent and be lights in this fallen world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.